At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. We are Live Bet Saturday, presented by MGM, BetMGM. Again, here, like I'm just seeing. I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted, but like I just keep seeing all of this nonsense. Again, headline: Alabama one game away from the college football playoffs. Let's see. Alabama would be favored over every team but Georgia and maybe Michigan. Sure, that might be the case. That from a power rating standpoint, that might be the case. Here's the thing, though, and we've talked about this a couple of times now. Maybe, just maybe, because we view, Danny, the betting market as like this pristine thing, right? That like, hey, this has got to be true, right? So, for example, Alabama, they'd be favored over all of these teams. Okay, sure. Alabama is one of the highest rated teams in the country. Alabama is also 6-6 against the spread this year, clearly indicating that the market is a little off on the way that it has rated this team. And in true road games, it has been a team that is a losing record, 1-4 against the spread, clearly a little overvalued by the betting market. Like, well, we got to stop doing this, man. We got to stop doing it. So we'll see if TCU can hold on here so we can eliminate these conversations once and for all. I think that's really what you're looking for. Michigan, I think TCU should be in safely, regardless of the results here, going through the regular season undefeated and your only loss being to a conference champion, if that is going to be the case. Michigan should be safely in, again, as a team that went undefeated in the regular season and only loss would be against a conference champion. Same thing with Georgia. So I think the top three should be pretty much settled, and we know what's going to happen. And if that's the case, Alabama, there's no argument to be made that they would leap a one-loss Ohio State. Having said that, I thought Tim Brando, who joined us earlier, and you can find it up on the Twitter account, VSiN Live, said it well. You don't really trust the committee, but I would think, and we were talking about this in the second hour, and I want to give Brandon Marcello some credit because he said it really well, Danny. If we're going to do this where Alabama somehow leaps their way into this thing, I mean, that's like full frontal like corporate greed evil. Like, no. We want this in here. We want this to happen. So we're going to make this happen.
Yeah. If it did, it would just be so blatant. It would just be mind boggling that they somehow snuck their way in there and just tells you again, like just how greedy it is, how rigged it could be, whatever you want to call it, that would live up to it. I'm sorry. There's just Alabama had their chances. It came down to the wire. Guess what? Then you should have won those spots and you didn't. It's really ridiculous how much people are. And I get it, if you're an Alabama fan, obviously you're going to try to clamor for it and you're going to exaggerate it. But if you're like a media credentialed person or people on the team, like you realize why you're not in that spot and why you shouldn't be. And the fact that you're advocating for it so hard tells you that, hey, there are reasons why you're not going to get in and why you shouldn't be in. But JBT, I want to bring up one other thing. You and I have been on, because you're kind of making me crack up how it's like, you know, you're the anti-Alabama. I mean, I'm with you too, but it's just like on Twitter type of thing. And I remember you had the original battle with Michigan, but it just made me think, what is your thoughts on Michigan after that Ohio State game? Because I still know kind of where I stand in terms of this team. Yeah, they completely outcoached Ohio State in the second half. They outmanned them. They looked tougher. They were disciplined. But I just still think there is plenty of flaws with this Michigan squad. And I can't help but think about some of the games in the past, like against Illinois, like against Maryland. And I don't know. I don't think I'd be putting my money on them to overcome Georgia or to win this thing, even if you're giving me a decent chunk of plus money. I mean, if it was considerable, sure, of course. But I'm just still not fully in on the Wolverines. What say you, though?
Yeah, I think when it comes to Michigan, first off, insanely impressive victory over Ohio State. That was freaking awesome, right? Going in there doing what they did. I still think some of the flaws are still there. I still think it's fair. Like when you look at that game overall on a general down to down type of performance, they actually didn't perform that well on a yards per play basis. They just got those five explosive plays. And you do wonder if that is going to be something that could replicate itself. I think JJ McCarthy looked good when guys were wide open downfield, but you wonder in certain games if that's going to be about part of the problem. You know, right when it comes to like the sense of Georgia and taking them on. But at the same time, and I was clearly wrong, when we're splitting hairs and wondering how they're going to look against the likes of Georgia in a college football playoff, they're one of the best four teams in the country and they deserve to be there. Very quickly, Daniel Yari versus Malia Bargabos. I'm sorry if I mentioned or butchered her name for the Dr. Pepper Tuition Challenge. I'll give you first selection. Who are you taking here?
Wait, I hate to make you do this, but can you say the names again?
Does that matter? Does that honestly matter in the handicap? Is it going to make you pick one or the other?
Okay. Well, because I'm going to take the girl. Let me get the girl.
Okay. All right. So I got this guy on the right. Let's see. I don't know. His arms look kind of short. I'm not really loving that. I don't really love the white pants.
The girls always utilize a two-handed strategy. That's why they have so much success. Like, this guy's going to try to look good and be smooth and throw it one-handed like a normal quarterback throw. Nah, I think she'll have it locked down.
It's a good point. The ego is something that maybe does play into this. but we'll see. I would say that you're probably the favorite. I think the long arms, everything's going to really help her out here.
Yeah.
But we are head-to-head now as the Dr. Pepper Tuition Challenge. Do we do a live like play-by-play update on this? I feel like people are totally into it. Maybe. I don't know. I feel like this is something that people really enjoy. Regardless, we'll give you the update momentarily on what is going to happen. All right, come on, ref guy. Like, we don't need the full countdown. Just let him start going. Oh, rough start for Danny's girl, though. I got an early lead here, but oh, no, she's finding her groove. Oh, no.
Right, so I see those buckets back there, by the way. They showed them, like, 5 yards back. So, yeah, you got to run there and then run back up.
I don't know what the case is. But, by the way, so our TV screen, it might be a tiebreaker. That's a good point, Elliot. Thank you very much. I can actually, the screen is so blurry, I cannot tell who's in the lead or who's not. So this is a complete mystery to me as to who is going to win this thing at this point right now. But it looks like we have a winner. And my guy, he's there we go. What a loser. Danny, what are you doing? What are you selecting? Come on now. That's also a very poor form, so very lucky. I want to note really quickly, too, and we'll get off of this, because it is a big story, and it's worth mentioning, because from a sports betting standpoint, there are a lot of people who are making wagers on Alabama to win this thing. You know, Vegas Trey chimes in on Twitter and says, you know, what's with Alabama hating playoff criticism? They want the four best teams in the playoffs. Sure, I can understand that, but then what's the point of playing the games? Right, the whole point of playing the regular season is building up your resume, and the part that I think is lost in all of this, because the only thing you have to hang your hat on is, hey, they'd be favored over three of these teams. Sure, that's true. Their resume stinks. They don't have a notable win. Their best victory is either that Texas win or the game against Mississippi State, and we can talk about the losses at the final play, but that doesn't really matter. So I think that's ultimately what it comes down to is there's no point in playing the regular season if you're just going to leapfrog Alabama in after suffering two losses and having a lackluster type of season. At some point, you have to at least come through when it comes to some of the results. That would be with my, hate, if you want to call it, or cynicism, as it was labeled there. All right, with that, we look again, second half we're waiting for, but TCU is going to, in this game, go off as a 2.5-point favorite for the second half matchup, and we'll see if they can get this done. And also a quick update, Toledo and Ohio, we are back underway in the MAC championship game. This is a 10-7 game. Toledo did take that lead, 11-27 left to go in the third. So this has become a low-scoring type of contest between these two, and we have seen this in-game total start to really drop here. And we'll give you an update momentarily, but right now 39.5 in game with about 11 minutes left to go in this third quarter between Toledo and Ohio. So we're going to have more of the ACC championship game coming up in a little bit here. We haven't really talked at length because you and I both have a play here. So let's go to the Big Ten championship game. Your thought process, Danny, on backing Purdue like I have in this matchup against Michigan, because you mentioned the struggles, and maybe that ties into what you're thinking here with Michigan. I have my own thoughts, but why do you think the Purdue Boilermakers can stay inside a number like 17, 17 and a half?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't too tempted to get involved in this game, and then I was talking with Matt Eumanns because him and I do the VSIN Pro Football Betting Podcast, and we were just talking about the Big Ten, and you know, because my Cornhuskers hired Matt Rhule, which I'm excited about, so he was giving me props, and then I asked him his thoughts on the game, and he kind of really convinced me there in the sense that Purdue's playing with house money, right? They don't have anything to lose except for the actual game, but that's not really going to affect anything that much. And it's not like there's a lot of pressure on Michigan, but you could kind of apply the same theory of, hey, if Georgia goes in there a little bit complacent, knowing that they should steamroll, and you know, LSU's a better team than Purdue, but that you're just playing for seeding, and it's not so important because even if they lose, they're going to be getting in. They could get out to that big lead and then just take the foot off the pedal a tad bit, and they can really expand and open the playbook. And again, Jeff Brohm has strived in this role, as you alluded to earlier, what they've beaten three top three teams. Is that what it was? And just a remarkable stat. And I realize everything that's happening in the background with Aiden O'Connell, which of course is, you know, horrible with everything going on with that. But, you know, a lot of times that does lead to some inspiration. And just 17's a lot. And look, if Michigan wins and covers, good for you, so be it. Wouldn't be shocking because of how Harbaugh has his guys playing a lot of times. But this isn't like last year with Spencer Petras as quarterback, right? Aiden O'Connell can actually make some fireworks happen and move the ball downfield, which certainly opens the door for a cover and a backdoor cover at that. So I just thought 17 was too much, JBT. I really wouldn't be as tempted. It seems weird to say, but I wouldn't be as tempted to take it at 16. But 17, a lot of times the games can fall on that number. So that was kind of my limit to where I would play it. And now you have seen it go down to like 16 and a half or 16. So if you kind of have that same thought process, I'm sure Michigan will get out early and you'll get an adjusted line that will probably have over 20 if you want to get involved in that capacity. But I do like Purdue to keep it somewhat close. Maybe it's not going to look like it's close or feel like it's close, but I think they sneak in there.
Yeah, I thought so. The number, of course, is right. The number is part of it. That 17 and a half that you grab. Also, it's look, Brohm, you mentioned, I don't know if it's, hey, 3-0 against top three teams. He is a good coach, and a game plan might work out here to get them inside this number. It's also indoors, which helps a team like Purdue, right? They don't have to go out there and play the elements. They get to play indoors, which is a much better environment for a team that frankly can't really run the ball, wants to spread you out and throw the ball around, not necessarily down the field, but just all around the yard. That's going to help them out as well inside of this number too. And there was a really impressive performance against Ohio State, but I have a larger sample size of Michigan. Not really, kind of sleepwalking through a couple of these matchups when it comes to some of the lesser opponents. But I think it's more about Brohm, his ability to game plan, and being inside a friendly environment indoors, and the ability for Purdue to execute their game plan offensively and stay within a key-ish number, we'll call it, of 17, 17 and a half, which was out there earlier in the week. All right, we'll take our break here. When we come back, start of the third quarter in the Big 12 championship game between Kansas State and TCU, so we'll bring you down to that. And also, ACC championship preview on the other side with Eric Mullane, who's going to join us next here on Live Bet Saturday.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, Live Bet Saturday. So we are underway in the second half between TCU and Kansas State. An update for our listeners, viewers, on the VSiN Twitter poll. We asked, second half, what's your best bet? TCU minus 2.5 in the second half. Kansas State plus 2.5 over the 27.5 or under. TCU minus 2.5 is the winner. And TCU has scored 2 points in the first half, albeit 2 points for Kansas State. Max Duggan tried to roll out of the pocket and do a Tebow-esque jump pass. The ball was smacked out of his hands, recovered in the end zone by a TCU offensive lineman. I would say that that looked pretty clear on that slow motion replay that Duggan was not having his arm go forward. It was smacked out of his hand at the point, and this is going to be a safety. Kansas State should take a 16-10 lead here with the second half just underway. So a great start for Max Duggan and his Heisman hopeful, which was already kind of like embers as opposed to a burning flame, much like the color of his hair, pretty much dying at this point right now, but we'll see. And also, playoff drama on the line. Let's bring in our next guest, Eric McLean, who's nice enough to give us some time today. Talk about the ACC championship, but I'm sure, Eric, that you've got your eyes on what's going on here over there in Arlington. What do you make of TCU's performance so far? Because there's been a lot of mistakes so far for the Horned Frogs.
Man, you just feel bad because it's a team that, you know, has had to come from behind so often this year. And, you know, do they have one more in them? And then you see that from your quarterback, your best player, and you know, just a guy that you expect to not make crazy mistakes like that. And not a great start. Not a great start, boys, but crazy things happen. And just quick question for you. Who the hell is going to win the Heisman Trophy? Nobody wants it. Right. Nobody wants the award.
I think it's a great question, Danny. I don't know how you feel. And, Eric, we've seen before, too, right, with these voters. And I'm not entirely sure when the votes are due, but recency bias is massive, right? It has nothing to do with the body of work. It has everything to do with how you finish the season. I would still put my money on Caleb Williams at this point right now, but it's anybody's game, I would say, at this point.
Yeah, well, I think that's smart because voting opened Monday. I'm sure half of these people who you know, probably barely watched anyway already voted. They didn't even get to see what happened. And, man, it closes Sunday, so we'll see. I just wish there was a different rule. I wish we could wait until the full body of work was done, and we'll see. But I think that's a safe bet.
Eric, a main conversation for JVT and myself, and I'm sure many other people, of course, is who's going to be sneaking into that college football playoff spot. We've been asking every guest, so of course we got to ask you, what do you put the chances at of Alabama actually finding a way to sneak in? Because JVT and I are of the side that there should be no chance that they find it, but of course there's tons of people advocating that, hey, they're better than some of these teams, but they had their opportunities, they didn't take advantage of it.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and strike an amendment up and get 12 in this year. Like, what are we doing? I mean, it's crazy to look at it, man. When, you know, you got an Ohio State team that got beat to a pulp at their own game, at their own house, in the biggest game in the world, weren't ready for it. So why the heck are they deserving of a playoff spot? And they're, I think they're sitting right there and are going to do it, you know, because you get rewarded for not being good enough to play in your own conference game. But, you know, it's crazy. I hate that this is where we are when situations like this arise. You look at Alabama's two losses, and I know that two number is very important, and it's a big number. It's by like a combined 6 points. So it stinks that we're in this situation where, you know, a team isn't necessarily going out there and earning a win this weekend. And of course, my Clemson Tigers, they didn't do any favors to us either by laying an egg against the Chickens last week. So we'll see, man. I guess Ohio State, they're just going to stumble into this thing.
All right, let's talk about your Clemson Tigers. 7.5-point favorite against North Carolina today. I'll give you the floor on the analysis there. What needs to happen for Clemson to cover a number like that?
Yeah, I think it's really about up front, you know, on the defensive line of scrimmage. You know, interested to see just the approach Clemson takes defensively, but whether it's three guys, whether it's four guys, whether it's five guys, if they run a bare front, you know, out there at times, that they have to dominate. You know, this UNC offensive line has been below average all year long. Drake May sacked more than any quarterback in the ACC at 34 times, that they've got to be able to bring the pressure in, establish that up front without bringing exotic blitzes and keeping guys in throwing lanes and try to make him second guess his first read where, bam, there's a split second, you know, too long where one of those big nasties can get him. And then on the offensive side of the ball for Clemson, establish the run game. Hand Will Shipley the ball 20-plus times. Allow him to do his thing. He averaged 8.5 yards per carry on a vaunted SEC defense last week. He should have no problem on the worst defense in the ACC statistically. So that's what you want to see from them. And then, of course, Drake May, just to be who he is on offense for UNC. You know, the Heisman hopeful, will he earn a trip to New York? We're going to be interesting to see. But there's no doubt in my mind he's still one of the best three quarterbacks in the entire country. It's just, will that be on display tonight? Because we haven't seen that the last 2 weeks.
All right, Eric, let's take it to the Big Ten championship game with Michigan and Purdue. We've seen this line actually move. Well, originally it went in favor of Michigan as high as a 17.5-point favorite, but now it's kind of teetering down to the side of the Boilermakers. We know Jeff Brohm has thrived in these spots as a huge underdog. I'm not so sure if that's going to happen this time, but do you think they can at least make it competitive in this spot?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting, man. I mean, I saw this Purdue team throw for, you know, 450 yards on a Syracuse defense that we thought had a really good secondary, but they had time. I'm not sure if that's going to be the case, you know, against this really good Michigan defense, against a team that has thrived on physicality, that, again, lines of scrimmage, how important that is in championship ball. I think they get a little overwhelmed here, and Michigan looks really good going into Sunday.
A real quick update. Just a couple of plays, big plays at that. Kansas State has found their way into the end zone, 20-10, with an extra point coming here in this matchup against TCU. We should update our audience. That fumble that was recovered for safety was ruled that it was actually an incomplete pass, so TCU did punt the ball back away because that was going to be a fourth down. Kansas State makes the most of it, and they are into the end zone and have a 10-point lead with an extra point coming in this matchup out there in Arlington. Eric, I wanted to go back to Clemson really quickly and get your thoughts on this, because I think what's really interesting about the Tigers so far and the way that the season has come is, like, there's been a lot of fingers easily pointed at the quarterback play. Has that been the biggest issue for Clemson so far? Because, like, I see a secondary that's given up some big play at times against some opponents, right? South Carolina, Wake Forest, Syracuse at times in those games. Those stick out to me. I just feel like there's a lot of holes to fill here if you're Clemson, and it's not just as easy as saying, DJU, that's the problem.
Yeah, I think that it's such a snowball effect right now for Clemson, and it's easy to say quarterback. You know, that's what an average viewer, that someone that you know hasn't been a lot of time around the game, it's easy to sit there and say when you look at a stat sheet and the guy is, you know, 8 of 29, that's bad, that's not good, but certainly needs some help around him, hitting guys in the chest, hitting guys in the face mask with the football, not coming down with it. That hurts your confidence. That hurts what you can do and the flow of the game and the way you call a game, all those different things. So, you know, I think if there's the biggest thing, it's just really quarterback play and then wide receivers not helping them out at all. So, you know, certainly something that you want to see that be, you know, kind of corrected. And in this day and age, you know, the transfer portal's alive and well. A Clemson team could go in there and find a couple of guys if they think that's the route best for them. And really get some instant relief in that position for next season.
You know, Eric, from a former player perspective, how do things kind of alter when it comes to these type of games, whether it's game planning, mentality? Because as betters, we kind of try to get into the minds of a lot of these players and, you know, try to understand the magnitude and how much whatever they're playing for means. For example, I mean, you know, Georgia playing for seeding, but they're a huge favorite. But even in the example with Clemson and North Carolina not playing for the playoff spot, but for the conference championship, how does that alter from the player's perspective based on regular games?
Yeah, man, it's every game is so much more important when there's a trophy involved, when there's a title involved, when there's a ring involved, man. You want to go out there and absolutely put on, you know, your best look there and be able to dominate your opponent. And for me, man, preparing for that game, you know, for us, it was the first time we'd done it in a while at Clemson in 2015. And it was just important to have ownership of the league and to say we are the best here. We deserve, you know, X credit and the things that we can do here. For North Carolina team, man, they haven't won it since 1980. You think those guys aren't hungry? You think they're not willing and, you know, ready for this opportunity? So they're going to be dialed up. They're going to be jacked up. Throw everything that happened in the season away, because this is a season of its own, man. It's championship time, and those guys got to be ready to play on each side.
ACC Network ESPN analyst Eric McLean and former Clemson Tiger. Eric, we appreciate some time. Thank you very much, sir. Enjoy the rest of the games today.
No doubt. Happy betting, guys. We'll see y'all.
Yeah, you got it. A quick update. Yeah, so that is a 21-10 lead, and also TCU called for an unsportsmanlike conduct on that touchdown allowed. So right now, everything going poorly for TCU, but still, for as poorly as everything has gone, only an 11-point deficit with 12-19 left to go in the third. But you don't like to see a four-play 62-yard drive right after what looked like was going to be a tragic end to a first drive for you here in the second half. All right, the verdict is yours. Last 30 seconds, you saw the picture. I am spot on with this Max Duggan comparison, am I not?
No, I think you nailed it. I didn't know who you were talking about at first with the social media guy, but now I understand it. I think the eyes and the eyebrows are really where you get the similarities.
Absolutely.
So I see what path you're taking there.
All right, we'll give you a scoreboard update on the MAC championship, as this has been somewhat boring. It's a 10-7 game, still a favorite. Toledo, 7:45 left to go in third. Continue looking at everything else coming up in championship weekend. Of course, we still have a lot of other games in other sports, too. It's coming back here on Live Bet Saturday.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. Here's some news for you, by the way. VSiN Cyber Monday sale has been extended, so check that out. Sign up today. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber. You're going to get daily recaps of the top plays and much more. And new Pro annual subscribers get a $30 credit to the VSiN store. It's a great spot for holiday gifts. Check it out now. Extended Cyber Monday offer won't last long. Hit up VSiN.com/subscribe. I hurried through that because we got a game, baby. A muffed punt by Kansas State. TCU recovers. Three plays later, Horned Frogs on a Kendre Miller 6-yard touchdown rush are now back in this thing. 21-16 with the extra point coming up here, or 2-point conversion attempt, whatever they feel like doing. But just like that, in the snap of a finger, Danny, TCU is alive yet again.
Talk about desperation and needing it. My goodness, sometimes the best defense results in the best offense. You couldn't have asked for a better situation. And it wasn't like there was even a guy around the punt return. He literally just dropped it. It just slipped out of his reach. And luckily, TCU fell on top of it. And even though it was kind of, you could say, a cheap way to get back in possession and set up in scoring position, it doesn't matter because it still counts the same. And we talk about momentum, and you needed a spark, and TCU finally got one. It was a team that just had no answers whatsoever, JBT. And now that you got that boost, let's see if that sparks this kind of confidence that we've seen the whole year when they've trailed in these type of situations.
We'll call them Ball S Sports, one of my favorite Twitter accounts that is out there. Good tweet, though. Alabama season might have just ended on a muffed punt. So solid tweet, solid tweet. But right now, in-game-wise, as we are looking around, because K-State, of course, was a solid favorite, still favorite, but 3.5 is the spread here with a total of 61.5 for this game. And right now, for the important thing, as we talked about for our VSIN voters up on the poll, tied in the second half, touchdown for each team. So again, TCU was a 2.5-point favorite in the second half, and that total was, what, 27.5, if I remember correctly? So we do have some scores, 27.5 for a second half total. So we'll keep an eye on that, of course, from a second half standpoint. But TCU alive again. And Danny, to your point, again, like why I'd kind of be looking in the TCU direction potentially, outside of that first drive for Kansas State in the third quarter, TCU defensively has been doing what it needs to do to keep its team in here, right? Like defensively holding up Deuce Vaughn and this Kansas State running attack, specifically on those short yardage situations where they try to convert on a fourth down, bottling up for the most part big play opportunities for K-State. It has been a valiant effort so far for TCU's defense. Now it's just this offense that needs to keep it going. And of course, it's only a 4-point game. TCU by no means dead, but why you would feel still like fine if you're like somebody like us who pre-flop was in on TCU or went in second half on TCU. There's some opportunities there that make you think that this team's still going to get in this. You just got to get Duggan to perform a little bit better.
Exactly. You kind of just got to break the seal of getting that first down on their possessions. And once they do, then you see that rhythm develop. You're right, though. The defense, obviously, after that punt, you know, that wasn't great. But it's kind of inevitable that Kansas State is going to get those opportunities. It's a bend, don't break mentality with the defense. And they have been holding their end of the bargain. It's just that the offense, as you mentioned, hasn't been doing it themselves. So we'll see what kind of spark can result from this. And look, I feel like we have been in this role several times when you back an underdog like Kansas State. I know you and I said we're feeling pretty fine. I feel like if you're backing Kansas State right now, you're feeling a little bit nervous because when things start to go against you, like that muffed punt when nobody was around and just an immediate score and you're in that underdog role and you know TCU's done it several times, I think you're a little bit nervous here. So plus 145 is what you're seeing with TCU on the money line. And I know you noted it, but +3.5 is what you can catch with the Horned Frogs on the spread. I'd honestly, if I were going to do anything, I feel like just I would go money line if you like TCU for a little bit better value at plus 145 because you're laying -$1.20 if you do think that they are going to cover 3 in the hook. And realistically, I don't think TCU settling for field goals here. So if you do like TCU, yeah, I kind of like that price at plus 145.
Other update. So Toledo did go for it on a fourth down in the red zone. They were inside the 10-yard line, essentially. And that play was snuffed out. Really not snuffed out. Quarterback fell down in the backfield. But Ohio didn't do anything with it, so Toledo now back has this. They are 10-7 and a big run here. They are at about midfield in this MAC championship game. Still that 10-7 score and a low scoring. And I'll say it, boring game. So poor Stormy Bonatoni is out there right now on the sidelines watching what is transpiring as a sideline reporter. Absolutely abysmal. In-game total right now, 30.5, and Toledo a 3.5-point favorite over at BetMGM. So Kansas State has the ball. Return is down to the 30-yard line, so K-State will take over there. See if TCU can get things going. So let's talk about some potential hypotheticals here for some college football playoff matchups. I do think, and this is the general consensus, that the only team that was playing for a spot in the college football playoff ranking or the college football playoff this weekend was USC, and they lost. So we're probably getting Ohio State in this thing. Now, where they are is the interesting part of where they're seated, especially if TCU loses this game and is TCU the 4 seed and Ohio State leaps up to 3, whatever it's going to be. But I would assume that there's a really good shot our top four are Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and Ohio State. Having said that, where some of these numbers end up and what these matchups are going to be are pretty interesting. We were talking about this off the air. Our guy Matt Grill over at DraftKings gave out earlier this week. Give me the show again, Elliot, so we can give it full credit to people. Live Bet tonight. Thank you very much. You can go back and watch it. Michigan -8 over TCU, a hypothetical line there if TCU would grab that 3rd seed, which seems to be a possibility. You and I both kind of looked at that and said, not the grill, there's nobody's talking about. I would assume that if that is the number, that closes higher and that Michigan gets bet up in a matchup against TCU, given the market's willingness to go up against TCU. And I wouldn't be surprised to see if that does open 8, that closes higher at about the range of 10 or maybe even higher. And I think you agree with me there, right? If that's our line in that semifinal matchup.
Yeah, I kind of would think that this would go more toward 10 because when you're TCU and you're playing in these types of games where you're just trailing and needing last second heroics, like Michigan's not going to let you get away with that. They're not going to keep stringing you along and keep you in the game in that stage. This is a team that has been in this spot now where this is nuanced territory for the Horned Frogs. So you got to go on the side of Michigan there. You got to think that the betting market will respect them a little bit more than TCU, considering TCU hasn't been respected in any game, JBT. So now going against what apparently is the darling team in the Michigan Wolverines, I envision if it were to open up 8, that it would take up the double digits.
You heard my Travius Hodges-Tomlinson. Looked like almost dropped an interception. Will Howard was trying to find his tight end, send it, and that is going to be incomplete. So a 2nd and 10, TCU potentially had their hands on what would have been a turnover but Kansas State lives to see another day here. So they have a 2nd and 10 on their own 40-yard line. So I would say, yeah, that's going to be the case. Michigan closing as an 8-point underdog, or excuse me, 8-point favorite, will potentially, I think, would be higher. Now, what is interesting, too, you and I were talking about this very early in the show off the air. I think a lot of people would be surprised, Danny, if that we somehow get that Michigan and Ohio State matchup, which I would assume more likely is going to be in a national championship game as opposed to a semifinal. I could be wrong. That Michigan is going to be an underdog again in that matchup.
See, that's interesting. And I kind of overreacted at first when she kind of laid it out to me. I was like, all right, yeah, I understand. But, man, I guess we'll see how much recency bias plays into effect. But, again, seldom do you get to play a team twice in college football. And when it's as big of a stage as it's going to be, and it always is a big stage with Ohio State and Michigan, I guess you expect them to bounce back. I think this is really going to call into question what kind of coach Ryan Day is and what kind of adjustments he can make if this matchup were to happen. Because, you know, JBT, there were no adjustments in the second half, and Harbaugh really looked like he was the superior coach in that game. So I don't know, maybe it'd be close to a pick'em. I know you were thinking maybe under a field goal. I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan, Jesus, TCU just allowing to get the first down. So, that's killer.
Hey, really quickly, because you mentioned that play. So Will Howard, for those who aren't watching, you know, and listening to us, wherever you're going or watching, we thank you, first off. But Will Howard gets pushed out of the pocket, rolls to his right. There's like three defenders in hot pursuit of him, but he ends up getting a first down just by like a yard, maybe even if that. But if they, I don't know if you saw the replay just now, it was a wide receiver for Kansas State just laid a tiny little pop with his shoulder into a wide receiver, excuse me, for a defensive back for TCU, and he stumbled into a dude who probably would have met Will Howard like right at the line, if not maybe a little bit before the sticks, and ultimately he gets the first down because of it. But the little nuances of this play. But anyway, continue on. You're talking about Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan, I would say, opening as an underdog, we'll put it that way, against Ohio State in the rematch.
Yeah, and really quick, I feel like Howard's due to have a mistake here. There's been like three plays where it's almost been an interception. Yeah. So for our sake, let's hope that comes to fruition. But yeah, so I wouldn't be shocked if it's right at a pick'em. And then you kind of ask yourself, well, where's the movement going to go? This is so tough. If you would have asked me before that Michigan-Ohio State game, I would be all over Ohio State as I was from the in-game angle when they played last week. But I don't know. What do you think of this questioning of Ryan Day? I mean, of course, he inherited a great team, a great situation at Ohio State, but he hasn't done anything insane in terms of, you know, winning a championship, right? And overcoming these adjustments when a team has met their talent like Michigan has.
Well, I think a lot of people overreact because he's 1-2 against Michigan, right? And that's like the big deal when it comes to Ohio State. And we'll have more on this because I got thoughts on like the power rating and laying out why this would happen for Ohio State. But I think that's part of it. I also think there's a physicality that is lacking for Ohio State a little bit there.
Yes.
So, and we've seen that kind of play out in a couple of those games against Michigan, specifically the last two. 4th and 1 for K-State. They go for it. They actually get it by running up the middle this time. They haven't had a lot of success running between the tackles, but they're sticking with it. And right now they at least have success there. So 1st and 10 from about the TCU, call it 35 or 40 yard line. We'll give you up to date, of course, as this is coming down to the wire in the Big 12 championship game. On the other side, we'll also expand a little bit more on what these hypothetical lines might look like in a college football playoff and why exactly Ohio State still would be a favorite over Michigan despite getting smacked at home by the Wolverines.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everybody. Live Bet Saturday. A reminder that even a wager that misses can still be a slam dunk with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Place an NBA one-game parlay wager with 4 legs or more, and if you miss one leg, you receive up to $25 back. Just opt into this promotion on BetMGM's app or website. With one-game parlay, you can make selections within a single NBA game, including team and player props. So go ahead, take your favorite NBA star under his point total. Have the home team fail to cover and take the under in points for the game. Yes, and with one-game parlay wagers of 4 legs or more, you'll get up to $25 back if you miss one leg. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued. It's non-withdrawable. Free bets or site credit. Free bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. I will say, because the script says to, say, hey, man, bet on your favorite player over and all this stuff. It's not fun betting unders in the NBA. Just tell you that much. I bet under a game today that had a total of 233 at the time. So you know it's going to be extremely stressful watching bucket after bucket go in. And my favorite is when teams shoot like 67% from the floor in the first quarter. You're like, okay, here we go. This is going to be great. You're going to go down in flames. All right, Danny. So what are we thinking? What's the confidence level like? TCU, when we're on break, a big play by, I think it was D. Winters for TCU. Sacks Will Howard down at the, call it TCU 45-yard line. K-State punts this thing away, eats up some clock on a 12-play. How about this? It was a 12-play, 27-yard drive for Kansas State just now that burned up 6 minutes and 43 seconds, ultimately ended in a punt, and TCU has the ball back now down 21-17. Confidence level here because now you're starting to see the plays being made, right? Horned Frog. Muffed punt recovery that leads to a touchdown. You get a stop on a drive that looked pretty promising. You're getting it done, and you get a big play downfield. Johnston's down to the 30-yard line of TC or Kansas State. This is where it begins, my friend.
That's right. The dominoes falling into place for a vintage TCU second half performance. All while, let's be honest, you and I were a tad bit nervous after that first touchdown came about with Kansas State. But after that muff punt, baby, that's just what TCU needed. And it's huge too. Talk about that not being placed on the 1 yard line, that it was a touchback, and then you get the play right out of the gate. Same player had that fumble earlier, I believe. So your boy Duggan looks like he took a shot though.
He looks like got the air knocked out of him at the very least, because that was quite the blow. But he looks like he is going to fight through this thing, because he's a champion, my friend, and he is right. A potential Heisman candidate, although he did not win the job in the preseason, which is always very interesting. But here he is. That was a big play, man. Johnston just broke from coverage, and it's actually so Duggan kind of threw it like it was one-on-one coverage again, but he threw it well inside because Johnston was all the way on the sideline.
Yeah.
So he just broke in and took a ball that was thrown on the inside, essentially like right outside the hash mark. And Quentin Johnston, I should say, took that in. So 4 receptions, 139 yards for Johnston. Some big plays for him here today, obviously, if you have nearly 140 yards on 4 receptions. And TCU on a run pass option, RPO, well behind the receiver there. So Duggan again, some mistakes, because it looked like he had his guy in some separation on a little bit of a quick slant, but throws it behind him there, Danny.
It's frustrating because you're killing all the momentum when you kind of have these easy plays that you should be able to lock down. And it's just so frustrating to see that, why they can't consistently keep this movement going, unless it was, kind of from that muff punt where you didn't have that much yardage to work with. But you can't just solely rely on these huge plays, just chucking it up there and hoping for the best. I like the play call with these slants because this is more of the shorter passing type of plays that you saw at the end of the first half. But you're right. You just got to have a better throw.
So he goes up for Johnston again into the end zone. Again, they're just willing to go one-on-one with Johnston here. But this time, while it falls incomplete, he's going to get a pass interference call, it seems. So this
that's
is
what they're hoping.
Yeah,
for.
That's what they're hoping.
Every time.
you never. Well, I mean, they are, to give them some credit, I guess. Like K-State is holding up on this, but it was just like a simple out and go like route concept, it seemed, and they were just like, screw it, let's put it up for Johnston one more time. That should be PI though. Watching that, he's getting pulled down before he even has a chance to go at the ball. So this is going to be a first down TCU. It's official. Pass interference on Kansas State, and I don't know where they were. I think this might be a first and goal. So we'll double check on that, but fresh set of downs for TCU regardless. And now it's starting to really break in their favor. Like all of the things that were not going well, missed kicks, things like that, are to fumbles, right, on big plays, are starting to swing back in the other direction. In-game wise, again, as this changes, we'll keep you up to date, but I would assume TCU, for those spots that update this on a play-to-play basis, TCU is probably going to be an in-game favorite here with a first and 10 right at the 11-yard line. So essentially a goal to go. They have a chance to get a fresh set of downs if they so choose, but that's going to be a little tough to do. And Duggan is not going to get back past the line of scrimmage. Somewhat interesting for two reasons. One, Duggan's mobility hasn't really been there for them in this game. From a rushing standpoint, yardage-wise, Duggan so far, 8 carries for 10 yards. Also on that play, Danny, because I don't know if you're watching it right now, not sure if he was down. He got pulled down by Clifton for Kansas State, and he rolled over his body. I thought he was still up, and so did Duggan, but ultimately not the case. And very, very upset TCU fans, as is Sonny Dykes, but why would you not be? So did you see it? You think he was down?
It didn't look like it in real time. Maybe his forearm might have touched is the only thing, but that is, I mean, this happens a lot, honestly, in football, and sometimes the players acknowledge it, and sometimes they don't. His knee looked like it might have scraped, so it was probably a good call. But, yeah, a lot of times the refs blow that immediately. But, yeah, let's see if they could capitalize here. You can't settle for the field goal. That's the biggest thing. And I know it's not the worst thing in the world, but, again, you're TCU. You're a team that needs to push it in the end zone when you've been struggling to get to this side of the field. So got to take advantage of the opportunities while you have it.
Whose side are you on, Danny? All right, he was up. He was not down. Absolutely ridiculous.
All right, you're right. I'm dumb. He was not down. Terrible call. What are we doing?
Yeah, what are we doing? Come on, man. We're rooting for the same thing here. You got to put the energy out there. All right, with that, we got games later today, and we have opinions on them. We'll give you the floor first because we share a play in one, but we do not in another. It's not like I'm against you, but you've got something in this ACC championship game.
Yeah, so I played over 63. I just think it's going to be a high-scoring affair when you have a terrible defense like North Carolina, and I get that Drake May has not looked like his usual form that we were accustomed to in pretty much the majority of the season. The last two games have not been pretty. But it's just he kind of let it all hang loose in this conference championship game. And Clemson's defense certainly has had its issues, haven't necessarily lived up to the hype. And DJU has had some frustrations. But if there's a game where he can look great, it's going to be against his Tar Heels defense. That should be ashamed, honestly, every time they've taken the field, because the fact that they've just been this bad is remarkable. So, again, it's going to be a higher scoring back and forth affair. I would gravitate toward taking the points with North Carolina, but they'll probably find a way to lose it in the end. I think it does probably land on a touchdown, though, but it's a little scary to have to fully go there. So, again, I just like the total. You got two good quarterbacks who can make the most of these situations, and it just has the feelings of one of those unique games where it's going to be a disgusting blowout, and the proof has been in the pudding this entire season for both teams. So I like the over 63. That's what I played. I still played at 63 in the hook. The other game that I had then is Purdue taking 17. Against Michigan. The number's now at 16.5, so I'd probably wait till you get a better in-game number. If you can assume that Michigan gets out early in this game, I wouldn't be shocked if this thing picks up to 20, and then perhaps you could jump in with Purdue. But, you know, Matt Eumanns was telling me, and he's a Purdue guy, he put it best. I mean, you've got nothing to lose here. You're playing with house money if you're the Boilermakers. Let all the tricks out of the bag. Jeff Brohm has thrived in this role. That doesn't mean he's going to win outright, but at least gives them a puncher's chance. Aiden O'Connell, a good enough quarterback to throw it downfield and at least give them a chance to either keep it within covering distance or open up the back door late in the game. So because of how high of a spread it was, Michigan knowing they are in the playoff, I think that gives a slight advantage to Purdue catching so many points.
I like the visual of North Carolina players just feeling immense shame for walking onto the football field to play defense.
Well, I mean, like, you're going around campus, and it's just like, how do you feel good about yourself? How poorly you've played defensively? I always think about that, too, when players have, like, a terrible game, like, just horrid. Like, you can't walk around campus feeling good about yourself, right?
They're walking into Anthropology 201, and they're just like, kids are just like, boo!
Exactly. Yeah.
All these defensive players. I would love it. All right. Yeah. For me, yeah, we share the same play there with Purdue. And everything you mentioned, Brohm has a really good track record in these games. And like you said, do I expect him to improve to 4-0 against top three teams in the country? No. But when you're talking about catching that number of 17 with the ability to throw the ball on a fast track indoors that benefits a team like Purdue, I think that that's a favorable situation and a favorable number to bet into. And look, the market agrees is that is off of that number and well off of it actually at about 16. So it doesn't seem that there's a rush to push that back up to the 17. And also wish me luck. I got this Fresno State to win the Mountain West title, yes, a 3-1 ticket. And they'll be taking on Boise State here in the next just over an hour from now. And by the way, speaking of that game, a big thank you to Tim Brando, who was on that call for today, who joined us a little bit earlier. Last updates before we hand it off to the rest of the crew for Live Bet Saturday. Toledo has taken a 17-7 lead in the MAC championship game. 10:30 left to go in the fourth quarter there. And 21-17, TCU trails, Freudian slip, hopefully, Kansas State as the fourth quarter begins in this matchup. Horned Frogs going into the fourth do have a 3rd and 10, or 3rd and 7, I should say, Kansas State 8-yard line. Danny, always good to talk to you, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. We'll be talking national championship and bowl games and much more. Live Bet Saturday rolls on here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Have a good weekend, everybody.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.